we are entering the four psukim. Now there are, only to make that understanding, there are four psukim. The first speaks about the going down to Egypt. The second one speaks about that we were terribly oppressed. The third speaks about that we were, from our side, longing for getting out, davening. And the fourth is that the Borei Olam Hashem entered the picture and took us out. Those are the four psukim. The one is going down, the second is being oppressed, the third is that we were thinking about that we have to get out, and the fourth is that we are taken out from Hashem. Okay? Let's see. Shenema, Arami Oyvidov, Yer Mitzrayim, Yogosham, Mseimaod, Yisham, Legoy Godlo, Tzum Voroim. So the Arami Oyvidov, you don't say that that's Lobo. You begin with Yer Mitzrayim. You went down to Egypt. What is the Pshat? What does it say? Onus al Piadibu. That means, Onus al Piadibu means the going down to Egypt was not that we were stuck somewhere. It was orchestrated lekatchile from Hashem to be like this. That's called Onus al Piadibu. The history is orchestrated from the beginning. It's not the Jewish history happens and then you are caught somewhere, now you can't get out, and now the Hashem says, what shall I do now? No, they are caught there. Let's take them out. No, he brought us in there in order to take us out. That's called Onus al Piadibu. The beginning was already orchestrated for Hashem. Vayogoshom, Malamet Sheyod, Yaakov Avinu, Lo Yishtakeya Bimitzrayim, Lo Gurshom. They only wanted to dwell there, not to really be a part of Egypt. You want to sit in Eretz Goshen because you have some problems with our tzon, with our sheep. So we have to sit there, but you only want to sit there. Now you say, Bibseimot. We were 70 people at the beginning, and now we are like the stars in the heaven. Very, how many people were in the end after 210 years? How many?
3 million.
No. No. A fifth survived. So a fifth is 600,000. That means there were 3 million. And now there were only men between 20 and 60. So there were another 3 million women. That means 6 million. There were another 6 million. And from 60 and on, from below the age of 20, when we stumble another time 6 million, that were 12 millions. And there were above 60 were another few. So were at least 15 million people out of 70. You believe that? You believe 15 million people? You believe that? So I want to make that you believe, because that is a very essential part of your getting the story. When Klal Yisrael was in Egypt, they were like in the womb of a mother. That's what the Chazal say. They were part of Egypt. Like when a wife is pregnant, you can't really discern between the uber and the wife. They are both one thing, you know. Even though the uber is someone else, could be even have a different blood thing, you know. The fetus is a different one, but it is one thing as long as she is pregnant. So when we were in Egypt, it was like the woman is pregnant. But we were part of Egypt now. When a woman is pregnant, so that fetus is growing from one cell into, after 9 months, he is however you are, you know. An enormous amount of cells. Enormous! Enormous! When you're 3 kilo, you're 3 kilo 500, you're okay, however you are, you're okay. So you can be very. It's an enormous amount of growth in 9 months. So let's say I would come with you from Mars, from outer stellar, you know, where the Americans go and look now for life, you know. I come from there and I visit Earth, planet Earth. And I look and I see people walking around. I say, where did they come from? They are born. Ah, where they are born. Ah, very nice. How are they born? Yeah. They are born after 9 months pregnancy. What does it mean? 9 months is one cell, and within 9 months it develops into a into a baby, into an embryo, which is
60 trillion.
Yeah, I was 4 kilo 850. So yeah, by me was a little bit more. Yeah, okay. so however many cells you want. So it's enormous. So what would you say? You come from outer stellar. You come from Mars. You say liar, because I was saying after 1 year he has to be the size of the Empire State Building. After 2 years he has to be the size of Mount Everest. So now it's a liar. You're a liar. You're not right. I see they are growing slowly. What is the answer? The time of pregnancy is one way of growth, and the time after pregnancy is another way of growth. So Klal Yisrael in Egypt was a time of pregnancy, and there was a different scale of growth, exactly like by your children, exactly the same thing. In the time of pregnancy, Klal Yisrael was growing to an enormous amount, because that was the pregnancy. There had to be this Klal Yisrael, this Jewish nation had to be created. That was the plan. They have to come out. And they have to grow from 70, that's the cell, from 70 people into 15 million people. That's what it has to be. Yeah? That's the growth. That's what you say. And now you say, Vayisham Lagoi, Melamed Shei Yisrael Metzuyonim Shom. They were...
Physical growth only, or spiritual growth
only? Physical growth only. We'll have that ship soon. Yeah? Now, Vayisham Lagoi, that's a spiritual thing. Melamed Shei Yisrael Metzuyonim Shom. They were recognizable. Like when your wife is pregnant, you see that she's pregnant, you know? You see that. There's something inside, you don't know what it is. They were a separate entity, but part of the Egypt. Very, very important. They're part of Egypt, but separate entity. That was like a Uber, exactly the same thing. Yeah? And now we say, God lo otsum kamo shenever of they saw poro wa yisru tzu wa yirbo vyatsu wa moit moit wa timole otsu. You saw we spoke about that. About that they were growing without boundaries because they were pregnant. Rav, kamo shenever, ravovo ketzemer asod in esatich. And now, you are a lot aloft, like the grass, you know. Vatir bevatik teli vatavoi ba'adi adoim. That you are grown up lady, but you are naked. That means you have no appearance. Naked means you have no ktusha to appear with. You're just an amorphous body, grown up, but a body without appearance. You don't appear. Yeah? You don't come into the world with a ktusha. Now what you do? Those are the two mitzvahs. The one is the mitzvahs Mile, and the one is the mitzvahs Pesach. That means, even the Klal Yisrael is made as a body, but you need a grasp in Kedusha. You need a mitzvah in order to get out. You can't get out only as the reason that you are a grown-up nation. That doesn't go. You need an active grasp in Kedusha. That is the Pesach, and that's the Mile. And when you have the Pesach and the Mile, then you can grasp on that, and then your growth has meaning. You are not only an amorphous growth of a body which is there, which has no appearance, you are now beginning to appear with your Kedusha through your mitzvahs, with the Dam Pesach and the Dam Mile. That's what you say. Now we come. Now comes the terrible shibud. We want to be clever against them. So that is a klal in the way the goyim are against Klal Yisrael. That was the last time, was the Second World War. There was a sardonic cleverness how to go against the Jews. You have to be very careful to understand that there was an unbelievable chochme l'roya, how to go against these Jews. You know? Because when you were caught in that massive of that, for example, the Nazis are there, you were not male aladas that you could make a revolt. They were shouted with the dogs and the shooting and the selected shooting when someone made something wrong, you know. They were shouted on 1,000 people in a way that was such a chokhmah that you had no havamine, that you could do something. There was nothing left in your brain that you were thinking, I could make a revolt. You were not thinking like this. That wasn't the thought process which entered your mind, because that was the chokhmah against you. They were chachomim. They had this whole chokhmah. I was in Germany, that whole chokhmah with the laws and more laws and more laws and more laws, and then they killed them, you know. That was a chokhmah how they went against them. You know, we today, La'achem Eisel, look back and say, mamash, crazy people. How didn't they see what's the reality? But you were not able to see the reality. You weren't able. It was a whole chokhmah how they went against them. Yeah? Okay? That's the whole one is chakmoloi pen yirbe. What is it going to be? Vayanunu, they made us suffer. כמו שנאמר, וישימו אלף שור המיסים למען אנוישוי בשביל אישום. למען means in order. In order they should be suffering. And what did they do? ויבן אור המיסקנויס לפרס פיסם וסרם says that, and the Chazal say on these two towns that they were always, they built something and they were going back into nothingness. And they built something, like it was a one big senseless work, you know. You were in caught in a work which makes no sense, no production altogether. It was only in order to break you. Yeah? They wanted to break the Jewish nation. That's what Mitzrayim wanted to do.
Those two paragraphs, you don't see Hashem anymore.
What?
You don't see Hashem in this paragraph, not you.
No, garnished. Garnished. ויתו עלינו עבוד הקושי, כמו שנאמר, ויעבוד יש מצרים ובני ישראל בפורך. They did us a hard work. Beforech means, you know, that they gave the work for men to women and the work for women to men. And now it's the same as Mike said beforehand, that it is not only men to women. It means they made you work exactly against your nature. When you were good in organization, you had to do something which was against your nature. And when you were very poor in organization, you had to be in charge of the organization of the thing, you know? That is the uppermost breaking. I don't know whether you once had to really produce in a producing line something which was really against what you are able to do. Yeah? When you have to do that, this is the uppermost pain you can experience. You get up in the morning and you know that you have to work against your nature the whole time, you know. You can't rely on anything. It's unbelievable. Yeah, that is a chokhmah l'roya, how to break a person. And you make him work where he is weak, you know. He has no resources. Okay? Now, that was the shibut. And now you are screaming out. And now this is the biggest, that is one of the biggest miracles in the nature which I ever saw, that they were still believing that they are able to go out. You remember Moshe Rabbeinu was standing in front of the Boreolam and told him, they will not believe. And Hashem told him, they will believe. And he said, no, they will not believe. Because according to any person, Klal Yisrael was caught in such a matzav that there was no reason anymore to believe. And the same thing that when you had the concentration camps in Germany, and you had Torah, and you had mitzvahs, and there were only 4 years, maximum 4 years. But you had a concentration camp, and someone lost their emuna, you say, I can't have any tainus, who knows how I would react when I would be in that Gehenna, you know? Klal Yisrael in Egypt was 80 years in a concentration camp. The grandfather was born there. Since 1934, a concentration camp till now, you know? And now my grandfather was born there, or my father was sure. My grandchildren will say my great-grandfather was born there, you know? Was born there. I was born there. What do you want from me? My grandfather was born in this concentration camp. And so what do you want from me? We don't get out. And Klal Yisrael, no. They believe they can go out. That's something without Torah, without mitzvahs, from themselves. That's the depth of Emunah Avraham Avinu instilled in us. That's unbelievable. That's something which is unreproducible. That you have the clarity that you will get out of here. Even though it's 80 years concentration camp, you will get out of here. Yeah?
The schus of the Emunah, that wasn't enough to get out. That still did the dumb piss up.
Of course.
The schus of Emunah wasn't enough?
No, because Emunah is something which is there together with all the Tumen. That's the point. That was the end, that the Emunah over here was stressed till the extreme. They were stressed to the extreme. The Boreolim wanted that they should keep up the Emunah to the very extreme till you can't have Emunah anymore. Because you wanted to instill the Emunah to that depth. But then that was together with all the Tumas Mitzrayim. They were in Mentes Sharetum, I don't know what that means. But they were in Mentes Sharetum, they were in the upper, lowest Darg of Tumah, and they had the Emunah. So the Emunah wasn't the schush to get out, because you have to have Kedusha in order to get out. But the Emunah is built in that way that you can have it, even though you are very low. That was in Mitzrayim. Yeah?
They didn't do anything to earn the Emunah. It was just the Yerusha.
It was there, yeah.
It was there. Yeah. So what ignites that? Was it the two mitzvahs?
What
brings out the Emunah?
You see it. Bald.
What brings out the Emunah of a Bald Shubha today?
But wait, Bald Shubha, I don't know. But here you'll see it. No. Okay, what is
it? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to take it that far? Is it because if he didn't take it that far, well, we wouldn't have that level of Emunah?
Yeah, He wanted to bring that out to Lefoyal. The Emunah is uppermost brought up Lefoyal, and you bring it till the end. That I can show it to you. That's interesting. I can show it to you. The Ramban. The Ramban says that in the beginning they were believed in Moshe Rabbeinu, and then he went to Paroi. And told to Paroi that he has to let out the people, and then Paroi said, leave them, and we have to make it harder. And then he made it harder, and then they didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu, me kreitzer ruach me avoid the kosher. That they lost their emunah, like. They were about to lose their emunah. What happened there? So the Ramban says something very interesting. The Ramban says that the Klal Yisrael, they didn't listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. They said, we don't have any future to wait for anymore. Because the matzav is so bad that even when you will tell me tomorrow it will be better, it's not kedai to live for that. That means they lost their future. The moment they were about to lose their future, now you can't go further on. That's it. To lose the future, that's the end of the emunah. And now when you look at the psukim, it's like the Boreolam takes the arrow and the bow and he makes and he pushes and he pulls 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 till the Paroi makes this gzeira that it has to be harder. And now the Boreolam can't pull that further because otherwise the thing would break. The bow would break. You can't go further. There's a point you can't go further. And then you leave that. And then, bah! It goes to Paroi. At that moment, when he says, "But I show well Moshe, mikaytzer ruach ma'avoy de kosher," the pasuk says, "Vayemar Hashem Moshe boyel Paroi." Now come to Paroi. Now we'll begin to bang him, because now I leave that. I can't go further, because when Klal Yisrael loses the future, that's it. You have to understand that this whole future-oriented religion, which by us is so natural, that's absolutely not natural. When you go to the Far East has no idea of redemption, has no idea of future. It's a yin and yang. It's a harmony with nature. By them, religion means harmony. That's it. Not an urge for a future. By them, it doesn't mean that. Why do you have to urge for anything? You have to live in harmony with nature. That's what the Chinese people, that's what Japanese, that's what, they are big cultures, you know, enormous cultures. But these cultures, they have a religion which is not future-oriented. No. It is very much oriented towards harmony with the existing nature. Yeah? That's their religion. By us, religion has an intrinsic part of future. That's why everyone which is based on that Judaism also has that, but that's important. But we invented that. This future-oriented thing, that's not the question how you survive in the world. It's a question that this world is not enough. There has to be a better thing there. It has to be better. There has to be something future-oriented. We spoke that by that all the Jews, they are part of those world better people, you know. When you have communists and you have all this, they're all Jewish, you know, Trotsky, Trotsky, no, we did learn in Cheder. That's not right. But all these, they were Jewish. They were Jewish, all those. Because you want the future, which is better, that's something Jewish. And the moment they were losing this future, when Shomuel Moshe, Mekotzer Ruach, Mavoy the Kosher, bang! Now power comes. Now you lose that. Now leave it, and now the arrow goes full ahead of power.
So they did lose their money.
No, that was about. No, it was about.
But that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to get involved. I mean,
that's right. So it's like the Memtes Shari Tuma, they were heading the noon. You know, that was the thing. That is heading the noon. That is heading the noon, the Yiyush. The Shari Tuma, the 50th Shari Tuma is Yiyush, that you have no future. That's the worst thing. I don't know whether you know that. The worst thing in a human being, that he has no future. That is not a preamble, to suicide. That's suicide itself, you know. Has no future. There's nothing to live for. There's nothing going on in the future. Nothing. Gurnisht.
It's a depression.
That's the uppermost wall of depression, you know.
So there were many Jews that came to South Africa from Eastern Europe, mm-hmm. And they married in, they tried to hide away. They married into the Afrikaans culture,
no.
And there was no future. They gave up really everything.
Okay, I don't know what to say on that, but that is over here. That is the belief, what the Borei Olam wanted, that in the uppermost disaster situation, you still have the future. That he wanted to instill in Klal Yisrael.
So was that the difference between the 49th and the 50th level?
That's my take. I don't have a clarity in that, but in the Ramban it looks like. The Ramban says, that's what they lost. And then the Pasuk says, now you have to get him out, you know? Just you can't go further on. You can't go now. There's nothing left to go further on. So that would be like the 50th part. Yeah?
So the Bar Era example, that's like the Emuna was tested by Hashem to the absolute max.
That's right.
And then he let go.
That's right.
In our generation, it's almost like similar. We're living in times where we feel it's very...
I understand that, but we have the Torah, we have the Sipur Mitzvah, we have a lot of things to grasp on. They didn't have anything to grasp on. That is the unbelievable thing. That was the greatness of the Klal Yisrael. They have nothing to grasp on, and then they did that. Then we make this Vanitzak, and then we go for registration. It could go on forever
this. It's check in and take a break, or like a walk, or.
Okay.
Let's say an hour and a half.
Okay. Now we make the Vanitzak, or we.
Yeah.
We
no.
We make the Vanitzak, and then the redemption we make now next time when we read it. Okay.
Delaying a redemption.
Vanitzak el Hashem elokei avoseinu v'yishma Hashem eskoleinu v'yaretz shonenu v'slav moleinu v'slachatzeinu. We were screaming. Vanitzak el Hashem elokei avoseinu k'mo shenema v'yibo yimim rabim ohei v'yomos melech v'tzayim v'yonchu bnei Yisrael minu avoido. So that's the answer. Where did they get that push on Emunah? From the Avodah. Because it wasn't that they got the push on Emunah that they made a Kenes Yisoyrus or something like this. It is simply that the disastrous situation brought out that cry. They didn't daven Shmoneh Esrei, they simply cried, screamed to the Borei Olam. That's what they did. Yeah, and what did he do? Vayishma Hashem es koileinu, kama shenema, vayishma elokim es naakosom, vayishma elokim es brisoi. You see what means bris? What's a bris? It's a covenant, not like this. What means bris? Bris means the connection point between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. That's called a bris. Covenant also means, always means, I'm connected to you, I can't get out of that. That's called a bris. That's not a shutfus. It's a shutfus means
partnership.
Partnership. Not a partnership, it's a bris. I can't get out. And now this screaming of Klal Yisrael was touching on this connection. Because you had to bring the Borei Olam into the picture. You see, you say it. And now, that he saw the way we were relating in our families, we still kept the families clean. That the connection to the Borei Olam is shayich is possible only through cleanness of the family. That's why we are connected.
I thought they lost that. They had the only two mitzvahs were bris mila and done.
No, no, that was not a mitzvah. That was simply a behavior that they didn't mingle with their mitzvah. They didn't mean they were clean, the families. That was the Sefer Bamidbar says it. That they were clean. The Borei Olam was making a yud and the hay by all the families in Sefer Bamidbar in order to show that they are still clean. They were still clean. That's a tragedy. Once in a while you laugh over it, says Amaleinu Abonim, that's our hard work, that's a children know. It's a tragedy, because what you say, we are the Amoleinu, but it means that you throw the boy into the water. So what do you stay with? Only with the pregnancy, that's right. When your wife is pregnant, so that is a hard work, you know. But you have a hope that something will come out. But that's a tragedy, you know. He said, when something comes out, you throw it into the water. So we stay only with the hardship. And there's nothing coming out. That's an unbelievable thing. That's the real cry out. And to say, can't be. You know, we wait, and then nothing comes out. You know? Killed. Yeah? That's the Amoleinu. So the tchak means like this. Over here, that's already a deep thing. Tchak means when you want to have any ruchnis, you understand that right. When you want to have any ruchnis, you need a free space. You can't have any shaykhus to ruchnis without free space. He didn't want to have them. Children, he didn't want to have that. To have them, to have the cleanness of the family. He didn't want to have the children, and he didn't want to have them a ruchnis. Not having a ruchnis means you have no free space, because only through free space, a place that I can think this, I can think that, then you have a shaykhus to ruchnis. When you don't have a free space, you are all caught into this tremendous lachatz. Your ruchnis is gone. That's what was in Mitzrayim, and there the Borei Olam saw that, and he said, "I have to take them out." And then the redemption comes. That will be next time. Okay, Ad Kan, Sei gesund.